right, we'll pick up the calls again after we conclude our segment with Bobby Evans. Bobby, how are you? I'm glad you're back.
Well, apparently not in a good cell area, unbeknownst to me, but you're doing okay otherwise.
All right. Raph said you didn't have the bars, and now you're in a bar. So I thought, did I hear that right or no? I didn't hear that right. All
yeah,
right.
I've got a couple of, I got a couple of bars now. I can actually hear you, and you can hear me.
That's very good. Well, thank you for coming on, and a lot going on. And we've, as I said on the air before we took the break, Ruzny Castillo. I've gotten some tweets about him this morning, and I just thought maybe you can enlighten us a little bit on who he is and whether the Giants could be in on him.
Well, we're trying to be proactive on every Cuban player that comes available. Again, they come off or out of the country at odd times, and you've got a notice of a workout coming up, and you try to rally the troops and get everybody there to see him. And so we're, of course, every one of these guys, and Castillo's no different. And again, where he fits in for us would be as an athletic outfielder who has the tools to play at the big league level here quickly. But the bidding on these guys is unpredictable. There's no way of knowing where it's going to go and who's going to compete for him. So we're going to stay involved with every one of these guys that we can and where we think they can help us. But I'm not sure where this one will land. It could be a tough one to acquire, of course.
Sure. You know, it's funny in watching this, you watch Abreu come in, you watch Puig come in, and they're players who seem to come in and sort of step in and do things right away. The fact that they come from Cuba and they're playing in these industrial leagues and how big baseball is in Cuba should give you, I guess, a little bit more confidence that the player, when he comes in, has the tools to play as opposed to someone who comes from an area that may not have that background.
Well, of course, when you see him in the international tournaments, you're seeing him against better competition, and it gives you at least some idea as to what they're capable of doing. And the workouts are not the only certainly not the best way, but they're not the only way either to evaluate the talent and the ability. And again, there's the young man we signed, Carbonell, that was out of Cuba, hadn't played in those international tournaments, was therefore behind the eight ball more, and more in the development process at this point.
Yeah, Carbonell played last night at San Jose. I guess he's up at 3-for-4 last night. Tell us a little bit about Carbonell, what you've seen now that he's in the United States. And you had him through the rookie ball in Arizona. Now he's up here. What did you learn about him?
Well, again, he's a toolsy player who hasn't played in over a year and is already being very aggressive with the bat and showing the ability to hit good pitching. I mean, we're going to have to challenge him, and that's one of the reasons we brought him out of Arizona, because he was hitting so well in less than 40 plate appearances. So our thought process was take him to that next level and see what he's got. And he certainly made a nice impression very quickly. Very athletic, and that these guys coming out of Cuba have, but maybe that comes later.
All right, very good. Bobby Evans with us, and I'm glad to have a few minutes with you. The other question someone called in about is the waiver process now in August. Can you explain it? How, in other words, a player goes through waivers, and we heard the name Rios this week and other players. How does it work, and how do you claim them, and can they pull them back? And then if they pull them back, what happens? Just take us through that a little bit.
Well, the trade deadline, the magic of July 31st is that you can trade anybody in your organization without having to pass them through the quote-unquote waiver process, which is basically putting a player's name on the wire, is our terminology, which is just notifying all clubs that this player is going through the trade waiver, which is required after the July 31st deadline, in order to trade anybody that's on your 40-man roster. And you can trade minor league players all day long, but if you're going to trade someone off your 40-man roster, they have to go through trade waivers, which the point of it is just to try to give the clubs that have interest in the player a chance to acquire if he clears, and or one club who chooses to claim him an opportunity to be the exclusive club to negotiate with for a 48-hour window.
Got it.
And if you don't have interest in the player and you claim him, you're just basically claiming him to stop him from going somewhere else, which, you know, if you're one of the clubs further down the standings, by you claiming a player, those teams ahead of you won't be able to acquire him in a deal.
Very good. No, I understand that completely. Are you guys active in that part of it, of claiming people now? Are you still looking in that direction?
Well, you have to be, because it's such an important process. I mean, eventually, most every player will go through the trade waiver, course of action. It's really just a way for clubs to sometimes assess the interest in their players, and somewhat it's just check the box off that we put them through and see who claims them. But yeah, eventually everybody will go through it for the most part, and we have to be active. We have to look at every day the waiver wire that comes out, seeing who's available on this trade waiver, not really per se available, but who's on that waiver wire, and make some claims strategically, in essence, to either send a message that we want them, to send a message that we like them, or send a message that we don't want anybody else to get them. And those claims are made today. And again, the waiver wire to this point has not been overused. I think there's some clubs that are waiting to put some of their guys on, and that's not unusual. But a little later last year, no different.
All right, Bobby Evans with us, and I appreciate working through his cell phone here on this Saturday. Hudson, I'm thinking Royals and A's. I'm thinking last time Hudson faced the Royals, he was in the American League. So Hudson, yeah, it's true. Last time he faced the Royals was 2004, and now he goes against Shields tonight. Let me ask you this, without naming names of players, have you claimed anyone and the 48-hour expired that you couldn't make a deal? Have you gotten that far yet?
Yeah, absolutely. Every day we'll be making claims, and every day we'll be discussing whether those are blocks or whether those are players that are actually available. To the greatest extent right now, you're finding players that are not really tradable for the club that are putting them out there. I mean, it's almost negligible. But there are some guys that have gotten through that have been claimed maybe by other clubs that we weren't eligible for, even though we may have claimed them as well. It's an active process. There's always the possibility that a deal will come up that you don't expect. And, you know, we have to stay active. Brian is as prepared for this as he is anything, and we have to be prepared to take action if there actually is a deal that will make the claim, player in on the claim, and then we still have to make a deal after that. So there's a number of steps required.
Sure. Well, the Dodgers picked up Hernandez, and I guess he went through waivers because the Dodgers probably the best record in the league, so you had to go through the whole National League, and they ended up with him.
Yeah, that's right. That's what happens. And, you know, whether the Dodgers made a claim or not, or whether he was cleared through waivers is all part of it. But ultimately, you're taking a risk to let a guy go through, and you're taking a risk to claim a guy, because sometimes you might claim a guy that you don't really want, but you don't want somebody else to get. And that club may say, you know what, since you claimed him, you can have him. And that can be good and bad.
Hey, Cody Ross. That's how you got Cody Ross.
Well, in his case, we actually liked the player. In fact, we had tried to trade for him previously, and I think that we were expecting there was no way they would get rid of him because it still had control years ahead. You know, we had asked for the player in the past. Other clubs had tried to trade for him, and they wouldn't give him up. So it was somewhat stunning that they not only were willing to give him up, but they were willing to give him up for nothing.
Wow. All right, Bobby Evans with us. Bobby, Matt Duffy at short today. Crawford gets a little time off. What's your take on Matt Duffy? He certainly is, you know, he looks a little like Johnny LeMaster, but he's clearly a rookie. Joe Panik, Matt Duffy. Give me your assessment on Matt Duffy a little bit.
Well, I like the aggressive approach he's taken at the plate, his ability to hit the ball hard. He's not a guy that we're expecting any power from. We like his defense. We think it's above average at short, and he has not played much second or third for us in the minor leagues, although he's done it some in college, and he will be dependent upon to do that at the big league level, maybe not altogether on a regular basis this year, but certainly in the future. He's a smart ball player and can get the bunt down, can make your routine plays. He's got decent range. He's not fully filled out strength wise yet. I think he's going to get stronger as we go. And this is somewhat of a surprise year for him because he never anticipated, you know, getting called up this year. He's not even eligible to be protected on the 40-man until after next season. So this is a quick move through the system for him.
Wow. Tyler Beede is working down in Arizona. What have you seen from the first round pick?
Well, continuing to work on his mechanics and delivery, and we like what we see. It's in, you know, small doses, of course, so we're not going to, you know, stretch him out too much. He's had quite a few innings already, and really have to debate as to whether we bring him to instructional league, because that yet extends his already long year even longer. So those will be decisions that we make here in the coming weeks. With him, his approach, his attitude, his receptivity to the thoughts on how to, you know, make sure he's managing and controlling the strike zone, and that's really going to be the key for him, and it will ultimately determine how quickly he moves.
Brian Roberts got released, and he is out on the open market now. Any interest in someone like a Brian Roberts?
I wouldn't put anything past this. I mean, we've tried so many different options at second base. It's been a revolving door there. Given how he has struggled this year offensively, I'm not sure that's the best fit for us, but we'll see. I mean, we won't close any doors at this point.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate you taking the time. It's always fun to talk with you. You know, it hit me this week. I said, well, you got Bumgarner goes 7, 8, or 9, and then you got four guys who probably go 6. You may need another bullpen guy. And I was thinking about Petit. Is it a luxury this time of year to have a long guy, or maybe you need another short guy in the bullpen if you got to go to the bullpen so often?
Well, that's a good point. The trouble is, again, without Petit, the confidence in bringing one of our young guys up into a pennant race to make the starts is really a lot to ask. And for the most part, we've been prepared to go with Petit when needed.
Right.
We traded for Peavy for a reason, but it kept Petit in his role. To not have Petit on the club means you're on waivers and giving him up. And there has been interest in him, and I don't think we necessarily want to give him away unless we have a very solid option or alternative. And so he may not be the easiest guy to take out of our mix right now. I think it's obviously a concern to get ourselves the best bullpen we can late in the year. And when September comes, we've got some pretty good bullets down in the minor leagues that are throwing the ball extremely well, you know, between Strickland and Cordier, and we've had Contos up and down. So there's some options for us to help ourselves. And the waiver wire may ultimately reveal an opportunity, too. Time will tell on that.
Oh, great. Yeah, a good answer. I was thinking of Petit, maybe throw him in the mix of being the short guy with the rest of them so you don't overwork the pen.
Well, maybe that'll be talked about, especially if our guys, like you say, if they're all going deeper. As you saw, Petit had to come in for a short stint the other day. That may happen more if we can keep our rotation going deeper and staying healthy.
Yeah. I mean, if four guys go 6, you're in the pen every night, and eventually you got to have someone else in there to help. So thank you. That was my suggestion. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening.
You got it.
All right. That's also interesting what you say about the guys down there. If you can hang on till September, you know, this is a tough time of year. You don't want to lose games, you know, because you don't have the right mixture now. Don't you find this the month of August sort of the exciting month for me? I mean, it sets up what happens in September.
It really does, and it's a big trip for us. We're hoping to come home with a winning record on this trip, but it's going to be really all depend on these next two games. And there's no letting up in our division with LA. I mean, we've got our work cut out for us, and we know that. We feel if we can get our lineup back, which we were very close to having back, but Belt took that had a setback, so we've got to regroup there. But we think if we get our lineup back, our starters can keep us in games. You know, we have to play solid defense. We can't give away any games defensively, and then we've got score enough runs, and we think our lineup can do that.
Yeah, no kidding. Believe me, that is the key to baseball is playing that good defense and getting the runs. Hey, you brought up Belt, and I'm not a doctor, but is this surprising that he had the recurrence? And what did the doctors tell you about this?
Well, the doctors weren't surprised. I think we were more surprised. I don't think that we anticipated that the symptoms could reoccur. I think that the nature of game playing. Coming back the next play, apparently, not as easy to detect on some of these screenings and some of these evaluations. And as soon as symptoms began to reoccur, as minimal as they were, I give our trainers credit. They noticed right away. They worked with Belt, got him to open up more about what he was experiencing, what he was feeling, and ultimately with reevaluation determined that it's best that he go back on the DL. And that's a process, too. You can't just put a player on the concussion DL.
Right.
You have to go through MLB and the Players Association and get everybody to sign off that this is in legit and exactly what's happening. And it's unfortunate for us. The timing is bad. But, again, if it gets him back without further concerns, it's a cool thing.
Hey, Bobby, thank you so much for taking the time, and I know everyone appreciates hearing from you, and I look forward to seeing you at the park next week.
Okay, Mark.
Pleasure. All right, that is Bobby Evans. Thanks for bearing with us. I know his cell phone was cutting in and out just a little bit, but I think we got the meat of everything that was going on. They're in the mix for Castillo, and they're going to evaluate it, and these guys are impact players. I'm glad to see they're taking it seriously. And also what he said about the bullpen and guys coming up, but you got to hold on until September, and also what he said about Duffy was pretty good. All right.